everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen on the other side of the glass on this Thursday, the 28th of September, 2017. What a very full hour we have. The first half hour will be with the Secretary of State for Arizona, Michelle Reagan. Then the second half hour, we'll be debating. Really, it's not a formal debate. It's a conversation on the Strong Start Tucson measure that is on the November ballot. We don't really going to get into a formal debate. It's just let's talk about it. We'll have both sides of that issue with us here on the program on AM 1030 KVOI. We are Tucson's voice, and we've got our worldwide live listening. You can listen to us if you're in front of or around a computer anywhere in the world by going to kvoi.com or my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line number is 790-2040 for your calls and your questions and comments. Let's go now to the capital of Arizona and the Secretary of State. The number two elected official in the state of Arizona, Michelle Reagan, is with us. Madam Secretary, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic, and I'm actually going to be headed down to Tucson
what?
In about 2 hours.
Oh, my goodness. What's going on down here?
Well, we've got a group that I'm speaking to in the evening, and then also we're doing, our office does the certification of election officers mm-hmm. around the state, so the recertification class for Pima County is going on right now. So I want to stop by and say hi. Say hi to my folks, my employees, and also the people in Pima County who are taking the class.
Well, the Department of Homeland Security has made it official. Arizona was one of 21 states that where the Russians tried to hack into election systems. Did they do any damage? Did they get in? What can you tell us about that, Michelle Reagan?
Well, you know, we're waiting to talk to them next week. All of the secretaries of state are going to be, of these 21 states, are going to be having a discussion with them. Because what we are hoping is that they are referencing the attempted breach that we had last June. And so if you remember last June, so this was over a year ago, we had somebody trying to get into the voter registration database, and they got into the computer in Gila County mm-hmm. that was tied to the registration base. Now, we were lucky because they weren't able to get any of our information or alter any information, which would actually be worse. And but we want to know, is this what they're referencing, or are they referencing something completely different, and we are only now just finding out about it?
Because it's really bad news.
That wouldn't be good.
Yeah, it would be bad because the hackers, had they gotten in, of course, they could have suspended people's registrations. They could have created confusion and on and on and on. So at this point, you really don't know the full details of this.
Correct. And again, my best case scenario would be that we were lumped in with all the other states at, you know, referencing what happened to us last year. And there's nothing new that we need to worry about. You know, we get thousands of attempts a day.
Really?
On our systems. Thousands. And we're able to, obviously, block those. So if this is one we didn't know about, that would be troubling. And also troubling why we would be finding out about it so late.
Huh. And in Sunday's Arizona Republic, your favorite newspaper.
I never know what they're going to write about me. I think I've said before, if I believed everything they wrote, I think I'd hate myself.
Well, they said first one thing, then another for Arizona Secretary of State Michelle Reagan. Continues, the paper says, to take flack for her changing stance on the Trump administration's request for voter information, this time from her GOP primary rival, State Senator Steve Montenegro.
Yeah, you know, we haven't sent in any voter information to the commission, one, because part of what they wanted was against our state laws, so that was an easy request to deny, because we, of course, are going to follow the law first and foremost. And then I started to kind of, you know, just say to people, has the world gone upside down on its axis when conservatives want their information sent to a federal government database? That's not, I've never heard that before in my, you know, 15 plus years in office. We have never advocated for sending our data in. And so what I said to people is, if Obama or Eric Holder had asked something like this, we would have lit our hair on fire. So why is it okay now when, you know, once you send that information, you can't get it back? And I, you know, I would love it if there was a Republican in the White House for the rest of all time, but I'm pretty sure that that's not going to be the case. So, you know, at some point, that information is still going to be there, and it might not be a person that you particularly care for that has it. So I just, it's just not a good idea to aggregate all this information. Several Republican secretaries of state from around the country have said, you know, it just doesn't do anything for it. It doesn't help the cause, which would be to check for potential fraud. You can't do that when you only have part of the information.
And Senator Montenegro is trying to make it seem like you take the same stance as a Democrat. The quote was, it's obvious she doesn't like President Trump and she's working against him.
Yeah, well, I guess he gets to infer, you know, all sorts of stuff. Yeah, no, this has nothing to do with liking the administration, not liking the administration. Our office is charged with protecting the voter rolls, and regardless of who's in the White House, regardless of who's Secretary of State, whether you're Republican, Democrat. And I really think, you know, without saying anything bad about my primary opponent, I really don't think he understands that. This is not an office where you should be doing things for political reasons with people's data. And again, if this was had been a Democrat president, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. So I really think we need to start thinking about what is best for people's data, not what do these individual parties want.
And a lot of this information would be available, is public record anyway, isn't it, Michelle Reagan?
Correct. They could certainly get the same information anybody else could get if they filled out a public records request and paid the fee and signed off on the fact that they weren't going to use it for commercial purposes, that they weren't going to share it. That's what everyone else, if that's what you, if you wanted to get this list, and it's, by the way, it's a very blocked out list, so to speak. So we never give out Social Security numbers, dates of birth, mother's maiden name. So you're going to get a kind of vanilla list, but this would be, you know, they're welcome to have the same exact stuff that we just sent the DNC a couple of months ago for the Project Vote lawsuit that the state was involved in. So, you know, but they haven't done that. So it's not worth even discussing because they haven't taken those channels.
790-2040, if folks have a comment or question for Secretary of State Michelle Reagan. Now, as far as the proposition, what's called the people who are against vouchers, school vouchers, it looks like they had plenty of signatures, isn't that true, to make the ballot next year?
Yes, they, you know, barring any court, this is before a judge in court to see, I think, the strict compliance. New law will probably be tested, but they had more than enough signatures, and we went through them, counted them, and it's really only the Secretary of State's role when it comes to these signatures to count them, and then they get sent to the counties for verification. So the counties, all 15 counties, came back, and it had passed their verification tests, and so they were well over the top. Now the big question is, legally, does it matter that they didn't have the correct information on the top of the petition regarding the session?
Hmm.
So they didn't reference it properly, and is that a reason for the pro-voucher folks to get it thrown out, all the signatures thrown out? So.
Are they bringing you into court over this, or?
They may yeah. bring me in. They may bring our elections director, Eric Spencer, in, who's also done some work down in your area. So they might. We wouldn't know who's going to be. But if they call us to testify, we are prepared to say exactly what happened, which was the Secretary of State's office and this was actually reported on up here, the Secretary of State's office advised them to use one of our sample petitions.
Hmm.
And they went ahead and used one of their own. So had they, technically, had they used the petition that we, you know, give them as the template, this may not have happened to them. But that's going to be for a judge to decide whether that means that they messed up or, you know, no harm, no foul.
All right. Stick around for another segment with Secretary of State Michelle Reagan. But first, I want to tell people about one of our fine sponsors, Green Things. What a great time of year here in Tucson. We're really all over Arizona now to get out and garden. Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road. They're by the Rito River Walk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Coming up on Saturday, they've got a great workshop to do with meditation in the garden. They're located just west of Brandy Fenton Park. All those workshops are free. Usually they begin between 10, around 10 to noon. So go to the website, again, greenthingsaz.com for more information. Be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, Tucson Police Chief Christopher Magnus. The Friday Roundtable features Joe Ferguson of The Star and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. We'll also have our Weekend Watch, hosted this week by Dan Gibson. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the live line from the Arizona Capitol. Michelle Reagan, Arizona Secretary of State. Secretary, Madam Secretary, what is this See the Money project?
Well, this is the project that we were talking about last year.
Show me the money.
Like, show me the money, although that was trademarked, so we changed it to See the Money.
Okay.
And this is where you're going to be able to, anybody's going to be able to go on a very easy website called appropriatelyseethemoney.com and look up a candidate for public office and see all the people that have contributed to them in a nice, easy format. And if you see, hey, Bill Buckmaster on there, you can click on Bill Buckmaster, and everybody that you've contributed to will be listed all nice and easy. And does the same thing for political action committees. It does the same thing for those independent expenditures. And if you run across a group that doesn't disclose and is, you know, dark money or uses dark money, then it's going to pull their 990s, their tax returns that are public record, and put them right there on your screen. So it's never been done before. And here's the part that's really neat for people, if they, you know, from around the state, is if you want to know what the, let's say, the mayor of Tucson is raising in a campaign, or maybe one of your Pima County supervisors, all of those people file at different jurisdictions. So you would have to go to your Pima County office and pull a record. You'd have to go to the city offices and pull records. And what we're offering to all cities, counties, and towns is to our program for free. So they'll be able to have their candidates use the See the Money program, and then it starts to aggregate. So basically, once enough cities and towns join, when you click on Bill Buckmaster because you want to see who he's contributed to, you get the information from all over the state without having to, you know, drive to all these different city offices and pull records.
So it's it's like a clearinghouse.
It is, and it's never been done, like I said, anywhere in the United States. It aggregates all of the campaign giving in an entire state, and it's phenomenal. We've built it ourselves. We've got coders working on the finishing touches right now, and the Clean Elections Commission will come in and do some tests on it to make sure it works from their end on October 2nd. So just right around the corner. And then we're going to start testing with cities and counties and towns end of October. So they'll be able to come in and play with it. And some of your folks down in Tucson that work in the campaign finance arena for Tucson or for the county, we're both pretty excited about this because it removes them from having to basically deal with candidates. It all goes online. And better for the people because they can see everything.
Earlier in the interview, we talked about the Arizona Republic. They were nice enough to publish one of their As I See It columns with you. And you talked a little bit about, as we're now about a year away, hard to believe, right, for the 2018.
Isn't that insane?
I know, it's crazy. That you're gearing up, trying to make things faster, cheaper, you name it.
Well, yes, you name it, and it's my philosophy, and this is what I want to be known for, because it's really one of the main reasons I wanted to be Secretary of State, is that we know working with government is a pain, a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of red tape, but if you have to work with one of my divisions that falls under the Department of State, I want it to be as painless as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I don't want you having to drive to the Capitol. I don't want you to have to stand in line. I don't want you to have to... You know, you should be able to do all of your filings online. So if you're a business and you have a trademark or a trade name or something that you want to file, you should be able to just do that from Pima County. You shouldn't have to come up here. You shouldn't even have to go to the little office in Tucson. So that's what we're on track for. We've got a number of services that have already been put online. And, you know, if you've got any notaries out there that want to become a notary, they can file that paperwork online, send us their bonding, even do the notary class through an online class. So it's just kind of, you know, that's my passion. Small businesses have always been my passion. And we want people staying where they're at and keeping their business going, not having to deal with government.
And, of course, this is the season for gathering signatures, right? This is kind of the...
Well, I'm lucky because mine are all done.
This is the petition.
Knock on wood.
Petition season, yeah.
Yes, I got them all done, and I don't think we turn them in for, well, next May is when we turn them in. But I've got them all, 8,000 of them, I think, all copied, and they're being checked, and the originals are in a safe because, gosh, we wouldn't want to lose those.
So with the electronic petition processing, that's going to speed things up, right?
Oh, yes. The electronic petition processing, just for example, when this big referendum came in and it's boxes and boxes of petition pages, instead of us having to sit there and count them by hand and go line by line, we put them through this new scanning system, and it scans the entire page, counts. If it sees a blank line or a line that's crossed off, it'll skip that. But the really cool part isn't that it reduced our time from 20-some days to, like, under 10, which saves the taxpayers a lot of money, by the way, to not have all those people in there paying them to count. But you, as the citizenry, can pull the stuff up now online. So if somebody wanted to check these signatures, which we've had people do that, you don't have to go down to the Secretary of State's office and pull boxes and pay 15 cents a copy. We just shoot them to you digitally. And so it's a remarkable system. It's something that a company is testing so that they can hopefully take it across the country. So they tried it in Arizona first. We agreed to be their beta, and it's unbelievable. It saved taxpayers a bunch of money, I'll tell you that.
Is it true your office did not take credit cards for the longest time?
We didn't
until
I got there. I was sworn in, and then I found out, you know, the office and all business services, et cetera, that you had to have cash or a check, and we had no credit card ability. So in these 3 little years, we've gone from having no credit card ability to having almost everything online and being able to pay online and obviously use a credit card and even Apple Pay.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're selling...
We're pretty cool these days.
You're also selling souvenirs online, too.
We are. And this is the good news. We had this little gift shop that in the Capitol Museum that falls under the Secretary of State's jurisdiction and never made any money because, you know, it sold very minimal items. So we bought all this cool stuff for the store to start selling it. So we've got these really cool Arizona socks and aprons and dog bowls with the state seal on it and a line of jewelry that was created just for us with Winged Victory.
Mm.
So, and yearly ornaments. So we're getting ready to come out with our ornament for Christmas. They sell out now every year, which is awesome. But you know, that little store turned a profit.
Wow.
In April, first time ever, we were so proud, and it's also an online store, so that's AZ Capital Gifts. AZ Capital Gifts, you can get whatever we have in the store, you can also get it online or sent to you.
And parents, if you're looking for a great outing down in southern Arizona, you want to take the kids up, show them the Capitol, go through the museum, right?
Oh, the museum is phenomenal. Most people don't realize it's such a hidden gem. You know, it's not one of those museums where everything's all roped off. It's very interactive. And right now we've got Sandra Day O'Connor's, Justice O'Connor's robe that she wore when she was a Supreme Court Justice, and the phone that she took the phone call on when President Reagan called her to let her know that she was being picked. And so we got some really cool Arizona things that, you know, you're able to just...
Right.
View right up close. It's not like it's behind bulletproof glass.
What about your hours, real quickly, for the museum?
9 to 4. It's free, by the way, and free parking. And on the weekends, they try to be open 9 to noon.
All right. Secretary of State Michelle Reagan, thank you very much, Michelle. Good talking to you.
Thank you. you. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot. This portion of Buckmaster presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It makes a great weekend getaway. Or why not make it a longer stay? It's just 3 hours from Tucson. And it's always cooler over there because the altitude is higher than Tucson. It's a great time of year anyway to do hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City, or why not just hang out in a lovely environment? Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the great places to stay and the many opportunities to recreate in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. 12:30 on Buckmaster. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Proposition 204 on the ballot for the November 7th Tucson City election is the so-called Strong Start Tucson measure. If approved, would create preschool scholarships through a half-cent city sales tax increase. Joining me in studio is Strong Start Tucson Chairwoman Penelope Jacks. Penelope, good to see you.
Delighted to be here.
Penelope really oversaw the gathering of what turned out to be about 25,000 signatures to get this measure on the November ballot. Penelope Jacks is the former director of the Southern Arizona Office and Early Childhood Policy at Children's Action Alliance. Also with us, Luke Kneipp is with us. Luke is a former Tucson City Council staff member, longtime Democratic political operative. He is currently a precinct committeeman, right, Luke?
Yes, I am.
For Legislative District Number 9 for the Pima County Democratic Party. Mr. Kneipp is chair of... Did you officially form the group No on 204?
No on 204 is what we're calling ourselves.
And is it official now?
It's not official yet.
But imminent.
Imminent, yes.
Okay, so... And we hope to re-air this discussion before the election, so by then it will have happened. All right, Penelope, let's start with you. Why this measure, and in effect, why is it needed?
Well, there are 14,000 3- and 4-year-olds in Tucson, and only 1 in 5 of them get to attend high-quality preschool because it's so expensive. Mm-hmm. And the legislature has, the state legislature has pretty much gotten rid of all subsidies for children. So we decided something needed to be done. And about 3 years ago, a group of us got together and said, let's do it. And so we put together an initiative that will, if it passes, provide scholarships for between 6,500 and 8,000 kids to go to high-quality preschool.
And look, Democrats traditionally have been on board with this kind of thing.
Sure.
Talking about early childhood education, improving the education a lot of young people. So it is, to some it might be puzzling that other than, I guess, Councilwoman Karen Ulick on the all-Democratic Tucson City Council, they're not really on board. Why is that?
Sure. Well, I can't speak on anybody else's behalf, but I do think that one of the most disappointing aspects of what's happening here is that this is something that's dividing the community. This is something that's dividing Tucsonans. It's dividing our elected leadership. It's dividing Democrats. It's being done in a very divisive way, and I don't think that it needs to be. But as for why it has that quality and why there is so much reluctance on the part of our leaders, including educational leaders, to support it, I think it's just that it's a deeply flawed initiative. It doesn't guarantee a number of the assurances that the campaign is making. It's permanent. It's a permanent change to the Tucson City Charter. It's very expensive. It would cost Tucsonans $50 million a year. It has no sunset. There is no way to repeal this except to go back to voters.
All right, let's go through some of these things that Luke brings up, Penelope. The expense situation.
$50 million is a lot of money, and $50 million is a game changer. People have complained to us that it doesn't go far enough, and then other people have complained that it's too big. We decided we didn't just want to move the needle 3%, 4%, which is what virtually every program does. A little pilot program that then never follows through.
Some would say drop in the bucket type program.
A drop in the bucket on a temporary basis. We said, let's make a change that will affect the lives of thousands of children and thousands of families and ultimately the community as a whole. And that's why we didn't put a sunset on it, because there will be 3- and 4-year-olds as far into the future as we know. And to create a program that then ends and now we say, okay, we're done with that, makes no sense from the point of view of changing the future of a community.
So you wanted to make a big splash.
We wanted to make a big splash, and the bigger the splash, the bigger the reaction.
Luke?
Well, first of all, I want to highlight that this is not a debate about whether Tucsonans support high-quality pre-K or about whether it should be publicly funded. I think that there's a pretty wide consensus in our community that it should be. But when I hear Penelope saying that people are not going to stop having kids, it almost sounds to me like a suggestion that we are stuck forever with the political conditions that we are currently living under. And that is simply not the nature of politics. Things change. They don't often change as fast as we would like to see them change. And I am as disappointed as anybody with our legislature and our legislature's failures to fund education. But we no longer have the legislature of Russell Pierce and SB 1070, and that only took a few years. And I think there's no reason to think that we will not be in a very different place a few years from now than we are today.
So you don't feel, Luke, that the investment is the big splash is the way to go right now. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm not even saying that.
Okay.
I think that $50 million is a little bit much. We just passed Prop 101, and so this would
Which was a half cent,
a temporary half cent. Okay. That one will sunset. But to hit the Tucson economy with a 1 cent tax, with two separate increases in a single year, that's really potentially quite a blow. I think there are good questions about whether it's necessary. And I don't think that this needs to be permanent, because I don't think the political conditions that have created these problems are permanent.
And what do you say to that, Penelope?
Well, having worked for Children's Action Alliance for many, many years, and having worked on this issue for approximately 15 years, and having worked on restoration without any success of the elimination of child care funds for 10 years, I can't feel very optimistic that there's going to be a change that's going to come to us from the state. People are saying, the state broke it, let the state fix it. You can take that perspective, but in the meantime, thousands of kids in Tucson are denied the benefits of high-quality preschool. And many people have said, well, in fact, virtually everyone says they're in favor of high-quality preschool and preschool and high-quality child care. Everyone who can afford it sends their children to high-quality preschool. But this is not the time in their minds to provide it for other children who can't afford it. From my point of view, every year we do not do this. That's 8,000 kids. So maybe the politics will change in 10,000 years. By then, 80,000 kids could have had scholarships. And that is a lot of kids to say, oh, well, it just wasn't the time.
And speaking of timing, on the heels of the half-cent sales tax for upgrading police and fire and additional for the roads, is the timing is this bad timing for you, Penelope Jacks?
It's never a good time for kids.
I knew that was going to be your answer.
Kids are the can that is kicked down the road year after year. We just decide now is the time to stop kicking it. And, it is a lot of money, but the return on investment on early childhood for communities tends to be about 13%, according to James Heckman, the Nobel-winning economist. So from the economy's point of view, there's no better investment than early childhood. And we feel like Tucson will benefit. That's not my argument. My argument is that children will benefit. But it's pretty clear that the economy of Tucson will be advantaged.
Luke Knipe, are you worried about the financial accountability of this? And we'll go into this after the break. Quick answer then we're going to go dive a little deeper into really how this is all going to be set up.
Well, sure, Bill. And I talked a little bit about this in an op-ed piece that I wrote for the Tucson Sentinel. I also wrote a ballot argument that Tucsonans will be seeing on their publicity pamphlets that they get in the mail. But basically, this initiative contains no reporting requirements. It contains no requirements for financial reporting. So what the nonprofit that would ultimately end up managing this program would be required to disclose to the community in terms of how much money is being spent per provider, how many kids are enrolled, all of that. There are no assurances that any reporting would have to be done at all. And it's important to remember here that nonprofit agencies are beyond the reach of Arizona's public records laws. Reporters couldn't just force them to give up the information the way they can a city or a county or a state agency.
Penelope, quickly before we take our break, and then we'll pick up on this. Are the financial accountability, is that an issue?
It is not an issue. Not-for-profits in Tucson, first of all, have generally a terrific reputation, but they have enormous auditing requirements. I worked for not-for-profits virtually all my career. 1099s. We have a huge amount of information that is publicly available.
Paperwork that is available,
tax data that is available, contribution data that's available. Virtually anybody who gets a federal grant has an auditing requirement. Those auditing requirements are public. Reports are public. In fact, in terms of transparency, I would say that not-for-profits have a higher degree of requirement than virtually any city or state agency.
We'll take our break right here. We'll continue with Luke Knipe, who is speaking against this measure. We call it the Strong Start Tucson measure on the ballot. And Penelope Jacks is the chair of Strong Start Tucson. We'll continue with our discussion right after this. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about Proposition 204, which is on the November ballot. Penelope Jacks is the campaign chair for Proposition 204, and Luke Kneipp is also with us. Luke has been very outspoken against Proposition 204 and heading up the group that is opposed to it. Again, let's go over for folks, because it is radio, people may be joining us. The noon hour is kind of like a morning drive time. People are out and about doing stuff, and they perhaps didn't hear our first segment, Penelope. How many children would be affected with this in preschool, early education?
The numbers that we developed came through the University of Arizona's Department of Geography, actually, and they helped us figure out how far $50 million would go. And based on their numbers on average income, family size in Tucson, they came up with a number between 6,500 and 8,000 kids. And that's the numbers that we're working with. You can't tell exactly because it's a sliding scale.
And this is the estimated $50 million per year that the half-cent sales tax would generate.
That's correct.
Yes. Now, Luke Kneipp, what do you say to that, those numbers?
What I say to those numbers is read the initiative, please. I think the most important thing Tucsonans can do is just read the initiative itself. I have it in my hand right now. It's 2 pages long. Mm-hmm. One of the problems is that it's 2 pages long. It doesn't say anything about how many kids would be served. It doesn't set a minimum. It doesn't set a maximum. It doesn't say anything about how much per kid could be spent. It doesn't say what the sliding scale would be. It doesn't say whether family size would be taken into account. All of these really rather critical questions would have to be settled after the election and after this half-cent sales tax becomes permanent.
And how would they be settled, Penelope Jacks, through a commission that would be created?
Correct.
And what would that commission be charged with?
A commission will be appointed by the mayor and council, and mm-hmm. their job is to set the sliding scale, to contract with a not-for-profit for administrative purposes, to articulate the high-quality standards. Luke is right. These things are not in the initiative. And I think it's pretty well established legislative policy not to put that sort of thing in legislation. You certainly don't want those things where they can never be changed because communities change, average incomes change, family size change. So the idea is to create a regulatory body who will articulate that kind of ruling and then make that flexible. And so as the community changes, they can change.
So by choice, then, the template was to keep it fairly fairly open.
To keep it open with clear guidelines for what the commission is meant to do.
Luke Kneipp.
You know, on some conceptual level, I do think that the principle that Penelope highlights about wanting some flexibility, I think that that's relevant, but this is a bad design. The Oversight Commission, one of the most worrisome features of the way this Oversight Commission is defined in the initiative is that it would allow providers, preschool providers that are taking money from this program, it would allow them to serve on their own oversight committee and provide their own financial oversight. In other words, provide oversight over the program that they are taking money from. And that's a pretty clear conflict of interest.
Is that like who's guarding the hen house?
That's the fox in the hen house situation.
Again, Penelope, are there enough preschools that could handle even this?
I just want to circle back for one moment.
Okay, respond, and then we'll address the preschools.
Only a maximum of 2 of the 7 can be providers. Everyone else has to be someone with expertise. And I would hope that the council and mayor would appoint commissioners who will not have a conflict of interest. If they do not take that role, they're not fulfilling their elected role and should be held accountable for that. It potentially could happen, but that's why we elect our mayor and council.
But the council then would appoint this commission.
The council appoints the commission.
Okay.
Bill, you were asking, what was the question you were asking?
Oh, yes, thank you. I was asking, are there enough preschools that could handle this suddenly huge influx of kids?
You know, this was a concern that I think was raised by the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, which is the organization behind Tucson Values Teachers, which, by the way, does not support Proposition 204. And they raised the question about capacity and whether the capacity to provide whatever the number is, 8,000, 8,500 scholarships currently exists. I'm not an expert. Penelope's much more of an expert than I am on these things, but I do know that if that capacity weren't reached, the $50 million starts flowing in as soon as this is passed.
Is the capacity an issue then, Penelope?
The capacity is an issue.
Okay.
Absolutely. There are not enough. If 8,000 kids walked in the door today, there would not be enough. But, of course, it's not $50 million in your pocket day one.
This is generated
it takes
after
a while.
A year
it
can, on an annual basis.
It's an annual basis. But much more to the point is, after the legislature eliminated child care subsidies effectively, a lot of child care centers went out of business, and they're dying to come back. The public schools, we've talked with Flowing Wells and Sunnyside, they're dying to come into the preschool business. They have capacity. They have teachers. They have empty classrooms, and they have kids. So it will provide a funding stream for them to come in. I know a number of preschools that have capacity, but they don't have kids who can pay. So I do think, this words I thought would never come out of my mouth, the market will actually provide the capacity once there is a paying public.
Let's see if we can get a listener question in real quickly for Luke and Penelope. Our friend Jim is called. Jim Kelly, quick question, Jim, running out of time.
Sure. My concern with creating another government bureaucracy that is being administrated by a nonprofit, there's nothing that says that the nonprofit can't turn around and pay their people, you know, $1 million a year to administrate the program. There's nothing keeping that from happening.
Okay.
That's number one. But number two is, you talked about Sunnyside and Flowing Wells, and I guarantee you the other people in the city of Tucson are not going to be wanting to be paying for child care for some teenage girl who didn't use protection just so that their kid could go to the preschool right next to them while they're in 10th grade. And I'm going to tell you straight up, people are not going to like that idea.
All right.
Well, we're all laughing here.
Well, Jim, I don't think I can't speak for anybody else, but I'm not worried that that the folks behind Strong Start Tucson are looking to pay anybody $1 million a year. I think there are real concerns about a lack of financial accountability, but I don't think anybody's going to looking to get rich.
And I think that people in Tucson, actually, according to polling, 78% of them do support providing high-quality quality preschool scholarships, because people do understand that kids who go to high quality perform so much better throughout the rest of their academic and life careers, that even if people are concerned about what the individuals are, they know that the benefit to the community is enormous.
We only have about a minute and a half. I'll just give a quick summary. Luke Kneipp, why no on Prop 204? And I'll give you about 30 seconds, maybe 20 seconds. How's that?
Because this is too important of an issue to be dividing the community over, and we can do better. Penelope and I agree about more than we disagree about, but there is an opportunity to reach these goals in a way that unites our educational leaders and our elected officials, in a way that our mayor and council can get behind. This isn't it. And I think we need to go back to the drawing board and get a plan the whole community can get behind.
Why is this it, Penelope?
Because 8,000 kids a year cannot wait for the drawing board. They can't wait for somebody else to come up with another solution. In a best world, every child would have that. But in our world, we can do something for 6,500 to 8,000 kids this year. And that's why we're doing it.
And again, to summarize, Luke, conceptually you say yes, but fundamentally with issues, no.
Yeah, that's right.
Read, that kind of summarize.
I want Tucsonans to read the initiative. I think if they will, they'll realize that we need to go back to the drawing board. But this is, as far as goals are concerned, this is something we need to do. It's just the wrong way to do it.
And Penelope, you say the time is right.
The time is right, and we'd like people to read the voter guide. The choice is yours, with 20 letters in support and four in opposition.
Penelope Jacks, always a pleasure. Thank you. Good to see you, Penelope. And Luke Knipe, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here and a pleasure to be with my friend Luke.
There you go. They are friends, folks, which is always nice. All right. Coming up this afternoon, we will have Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen will help Mike out from 4 to 5. And then tomorrow morning, we got Wake Up Tucson. Then my program, The Buckmaster Show, with the police chief tomorrow for our Friday Focus interview. Christopher Magnus will be my guest. On behalf of Penelope, Luke, and Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.